thing. You know, poison water is 99% good water. Is that right? And what happens in society today is that there you either have a worldview, your worldview is either secular or it's biblical. And your worldview, because let's just take the topic of homosexuality. You see, what happens is when you begin to think through equality and rightness and being fair to everybody and on and on and on, poison water is 99% good water. How many if I had a five, let's say if I had a 5-gallon tub of water up here, I said, come on now, I'm going to take 5 drops of cyanide and put in there. Just little 5 drops. Come on, drink away. Come on, drink away. You know, Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid group. I said, come on, just take you a big old swig here. All it is 5 little drops of cyanide. What's the big deal? Got 5 gallons of good water in there. Just 5 drops of cyanide. What happens is you understand that an argument is a logic. It says we are destroying things that seem logical, things that are that seem good, things that may seem right, and on and on and on. You ought to heard. I don't know if you ever listened to Ronald Reagan many years ago. He spoke about health care. He spoke about health care, and he said, watch it, because the way they're going to bring in socialized medicine is they're going to talk about the poor and the need, because it's going to be logical. It's going to bring it in. It's going to move your emotions. And what the Bible says, you either have a secular worldview or you have a biblical worldview. Because the arguments today that they're bringing and the arguments that they're doing are secular. And until you root it and ground it in a biblical worldview, you'll give into it. It'll seem right. It'll seem logical. The weapons that we've been given is that we can stand against logical arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now we go to Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the whole, everybody say, put on the whole armor. You have to do it. You have to put the armor on, all right? You have to say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, plural, of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over darkness, against forces, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Having fastened on the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shoes for your feet, the readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we're going to take that last one this morning. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to talk to you about the sword of the Spirit. And literally, I changed this morning. I renamed it. I'm going to call it dagger of the Spirit. Everybody say the dagger. The dagger of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to teach us this morning. We want to know of your ways. We want to learn of your ways, Lord. We want you to come and speak to us that we can have have a biblical worldview, not give in to the arguments, however logical or emotional they may seem. We want to honor you, Lord, and we want to live for you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Turn around and somebody say dagger. We look at somebody and say dagger. Just, and you can be seated. The word for sword there literally is the word is really dagger. It really is not the long sword when you think of Sir Lancelot and all. It literally is a dagger. Every Roman soldier carried one of these. In fact, it was a dagger they kept with them, and it wasn't just a straight blade. At the end of the blade, they had a hook on it, so that it, like a fish. You know what a fish hook? A fish hook is made to go in easy and what? Come out hard. Come on, somebody. And so a dagger, you can imagine in that day when you fought in that day, a dagger was made to go in and then come out and grab something before it came out. It was going to do you damage. It was going to cut something, and I will talk about that more next week on that aspect of it, but let's just call it the dagger this morning. But what I want to talk to you about is it says the dagger of the Spirit is The what? It is the, which is the Word of God. The dagger of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that and let you understand, because there's something about the Word of God that you have to do. You know, the Bible said, put on the armor of God. Put it on. So that tells me we have to somehow put on the Word of God in our life. We have to put, and it didn't say that put on the dagger, which is the Word of God. He defined it specifically and said, the dagger of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want to talk to you because I haven't got my arms all the way around that yet. And yet there's something there we need to do to arm the Spirit of God in our life. There's something we need to do. Put it on. It didn't say it's just automatic that it happens in your life. Paul said you need to put on the armor of God. And this thing has to do with the dagger of the Spirit, that we need to somehow arm the Spirit in our life. To give the Spirit of God the weapon, the dagger that it needs to do what God wants to do in our life. I'll talk about that in just a second. So Psalms 138 says this way, the power of the Word says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Now watch what's in the italics, the ESV. Here's how literally it reads in the Hebrew. You have exalted your word above all your name. The name of God was so holy, God said, if you speak it irreverently, you'll die. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Jews got to where they wouldn't even, when they were writing, the scribes were writing, copying the Bible, when they came on the name of God, they would not even write it out. They took away all the vowels and they made just a YHWH out of it. Instead of Yahweh, they wrote just YHW. It's called the Tetragrammaton. And then not only would they not only write the name, they'd wash their hands. They'd put the stylus down. They would wash their hands and then they would come and do it. And then when they finished, they'd wash their hands again. That's how holy they counted the name of God. And yet God said in His Word, you've exalted your word above all your name. Because His name is contained in the Word. But look how He exalts the Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God. Go to the next scripture. Watch this. Princes persecute me without cause. My heart stands in awe. Everybody say awe. Stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word like one who finds a great spoil. David wrote and said, you know, when I'm reading the word of God, I see something. It's like the same guy, the prospector that suddenly found a vein of gold. He said, I rejoice over it like somebody that finds pure gold. He said, I look over it. There was something about the word of God. Psalms 138 says all that. Now look at this. You know, David, you have to understand this. Revelation says this. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Literally, it speaks about that which comes out of his mouth. The word, his speaking, his words, was like a two-edged sword. Everybody say two-edged sword, would you? It was like a two-edged sword. And it's the word that's been given to us. It's like a two-edged, it's like the word that's been given to us. Hebrews 4 says the word this way. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Let me tell you something. The word of God, like I told you last week, the word of God is not dead. The Word of God is alive. And the Word of God can do, it's like it's power in the Word. You don't have to have the power. We've been working the last couple of weeks finishing up some construction. And we've been using some mauls and some big, you know, sledgehammers. Let me tell you something. They got no power in them whatsoever. These mighty arms up here we've been swinging that thing. And I'm going to tell you, there's no power in it, but the Word of God is different. It's got power in itself. But you've got to take it up. You've got to put it on. You've got to arm the spirit with his weapon, the word of God, which says the dagger of the spirit, which is the word of God. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll do what nothing else can do. Ephesians 6 says, now watch this. Finally, my brethren, he says, go to the next scripture. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Now you got to get this in your heart. The word of the spirit, the sword, the dagger of the spirit is the word of God. If you're going to arm the spirit in your life, you've got to know this. The spirit of God needs his weapon. The spirit of God needs for you to take up the word of God and arm him so he can do what he wants to do in your life. You have the opportunity. You can do it. Ephesians, look at Philippians 4:13. Paul wrote and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 3:16 says, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner being. Isaiah 53:1 says, it says, who's believed our report? What was heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Let me tell you something. When I take up the power of his word, I understand that what I'm doing is I'm arming the spirit of God in my life. That's why you need both prayer and study of the word. Prayer and study. That's why you need to know how to arm the spirit of God in your life. There was a centurion one day. Let's read that one. There was a centurion one day that understood the power of a spoken word. He understood that even though he had authority, until he used that authority, until he used the word and spoke it, all the authority, this, you can liken that to the anointing, all the authority he's got will do nothing until he speaks the command that he knows. He has the authority. He's been anointed with the authority. But he could sit there silent all day long with all the authority in the world, and nothing would happen until that centurion spoke the word. His servants would stand beside him silently until he spoke the word, spoke with the authority that he had, armed the authority with his spoken word. And when he did, then they would do what they did. Listen to what he said to Jesus. He entered Capernaum. A centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. Lord, my servant's lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word. I know you've got authority. I know you've got an anointing. I know it. I'm a man of authority myself. I know when I meet another man of authority. He said, I know what it is. I know this. I said, all you have to do is say the word. You speak the word, and the anointing, the authority you have, will see it come down. This is what he says. But only say the word. For I too am a man under authority, soldiers under me. And I say, everybody say. I say to one, go. Guess what happens? Action starts. Actions. He's just been standing still doing nothing. But when I say it, action begins. Action starts. And he goes, and to another one, come. Action starts when the word is spoken. And my servant, do this. Guess what happens? Action starts. I had the authority all the time. I had the ability all the time. I had to say it for it to come to pass. I had to use the authority. I had to say, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he didn't explain it any further. That's all the man said. When he got done, Jesus looked at him and marveled. Listen, there's very few times in all the Bible that says he marveled. He looked at this centurion and how would you like Jesus to marvel at you? He marveled at this guy. He said, you hadn't even been to Sunday school. Come on, somebody. He marveled and said, I have not found such great faith, no, not in all Israel. Let me tell you, this guy had an insight into faith, how faith works. This guy had an insight on how faith works. How's that? Not just that you got an anointing, not just that you have the authority, but you got to learn how to speak it. Say the word. And that which you say will come to pass. It will start the action. It will begin the movement. He didn't say, boy, you look anointed, man. You really feel. Everybody say he spoke the word. He spoke the word. Now, in the Greek, there are two words for word. The word of God. There's two words. There's the word logos, which means the sum total of God's utterances. It means the general Bible, the logos, all that God has said. It's a logical worldview. It's a Christian worldview. It's logos. And then there's one called rhema, which means a specific word to a specific person in a specific situation. When you read it, you have to understand that. It's a specific word in a specific situation to a specific person. And in Romans 17, Romans 10. Look at this. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the what? And the word there is rhema, through the rhema of God. That's when faith comes. Faith comes when the logos, you're reading the logos, the general word, and suddenly you get a rhema. You get a specific word for a specific person for a specific situation. So faith comes by hearing. And hearing, when you get a rhema, a specific word, you get a rhema from God. So you understand that. Many of us sit through many services that never got saved. I was talking to Carrie Stevens. Carrie is working in the nursery this morning. Carrie's one of our deacons. Carrie used to live on the street we lived on out in Central. And we lived out I remember the subdivision, somewhere out in Central. Bridalwood out in Central. Spanish Court is a street. And what we did was, Carrie was not a Christian. Cindy, his wife, Cindy in the nursery too. She's working nursery. Cindy used to come down and talk with us about Carrie. And we counseled, we'd pray with her. Remember all that? We'd pray with her. He was a knothead. He was lost as a goose and da da da. Well, we went, he's on the street. We used to play a lot of ball down on the street. All of us, a bunch of it, we called it Victory. I think 9/10 of the street came to Victory. It was a great, you know, we all built our houses together. We had to die of that. And then, and Jimmy lived out there, Jimmy and Roxanne. And so one day, Carrie started coming to the church. And Carrie came to church for years. And she used to come, he's not saved. He won't get saved. But he likes coming to church. He'd listen to the Logos Sunday after Sunday until one Sunday Brother Samuel came, gave the altar call. The Logos became a rhema, a specific word for a specific person, a specific situation. Carrie came to the altar. He's a deacon now. Come on, somebody. Every day I get Carrie, I'm on his email list. He sends out two, I don't know what you call them, devotionals every day. He sends them out. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Give the Lord a good clap off. Would you come on? It became a rhema for him. So Ephesians 6:17 says this. Watch this. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is, guess which word is the word there? The rhema. Everybody say rhema. Take up the rhema of God. You need to get your own rhema from God for your situation. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. I'll just say this. When you read the Old Testament, you remember when the devil came to Eve and said, what you doing? And she said, not much. And he said, she just says, well, there's a tree in the garden that we can't eat of and we can't touch it. Read it exactly what she said. And the devil said, we're going to get to it in just a second, and I'm going to read it. But you don't know this? When you read exactly what God said, the Bible says, God, before Eve was created, is when God commanded Adam not to eat from the tree. He never said a word about touching it. He just said, don't eat it. But Eve got her word from Adam. You know, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Come on, you've got to teach you a few things. One thing is, see that tree over there? Don't eat it and don't touch it. God never said you couldn't touch it. Play soccer with it. Play, have whatever you want to do with it. He just said, don't eat it. Let me tell you something. You got to get your own word from God. If the only words you get is from Pastor Terry on Sunday morning, you're in bad shape. You need to get your own word from God. Somebody said when I had my heart trouble, oh, Pastor Terry dies, we're in a pickle. Why, am I the only one that's got the word of God in this earth? Come on, somebody. You need to get your own. You need to, if I die and kick over one day, which I will do, I'm not going to live forever. But I'm just going to tell you it's going to happen one day. Don't fall all apart. You got the same Bible I got. Come on, somebody. You can get your word from God. And Eve should have done that. And we'll get to that in just a second. But she should have done it, but she didn't do it. The way you move from Logos to Rhema is prayer and fasting. You seek God. You meditate on the Word. We used to argue, and I'm not going to do it anymore, how many stomachs a cow has. But a cow sitting under a tree munching is doing what? He's ruminating, right? He pulled it back up out of one stomach, chewing it. It's cud. It's called chewing the cud. And put it back down the other stomach. Put it back up. You know what? That's the word for meditate. What you get from the Lord, you eat it again. Until you're hungry. All of you, all you're thinking about is lunch. Colossians 3 says this way. Let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. Admonishing, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms. Any of you ever sing psalms? One of the greatest things, the charismatic movement was charismatic. We were crazy. We were off kilter, a lot of things. But one good thing we did was we sang the Bible all the time. Every day, almost every song we ever sang was scripture. Every song we wrote was scripture. We didn't know how to write anything yet. We just wrote scripture. We had three chords, and every once in a while we'd stick a minor in there, but we sang the scriptures. We loved it. And so, admonishing, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual song with thankfulness in your heart to God, because we just knew the Word of God would make a difference. Now, let me tell you something. The devil always tries to steal the spirit. The dagger from your heart, because he does not want you to arm the Spirit in your life. He just wants you to have the anointing. He just wants you to have the goosebumps. He just wants you to come in church and feel so good. I cried this morning. And then go out and never arm the Spirit of God in your life. Just enjoy the Spirit. But he never wants you to arm the Spirit of God. He never wants you to give the Spirit his sword so he can do in your life. He never wants you to speak the word so that things begin to happen. Motion begins to occur. Look at this. Here it says, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in teaching them, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seed and fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. That's why for some of you, by lunchtime today, after lunch, I don't know, it sounded pretty good, whatever he said, but I don't really remember what I said. You know why? Because the birds are coming. Let me tell you, when you walk out these doors, there's spiritual crows out there just waiting to steal from you what you heard this morning. I've told you, a short pencil is better than a long memory any day. Out there to steal. One of the best things you can ever do is when you read the Word of God. My wife does this a lot. Read the Word of God out loud. Because you not only, there's the psychologically, you can, about your retention factor, but beyond that, you know, in the old days, they never prayed silently. They always prayed out loud. And you know, they just did that because it you not only see it with your eyes, you not only reading it, but you're hearing it then with your ears. It's a good way of doing it. But don't do it in bed while your husband, but go out somewhere and do it, you know, something like that. Very good. All right, look at the next one. And he said to them, do you understand the parable? How do you understand all the parables? The sower sows the what? Here it is. The word, the seed is the word being sown this morning. Watch this. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes the word away, takes away the word that is sown in them. One thing the devil's trying to do this morning is as quick as you get out, grab that word out of you. Is to leave the pot on. What are we going to eat today? My wife said, what? My husband did what? And we got work to do. We got plans. We got this. Some of you are sitting there. You're just daydreaming. You're 1,000 miles away. Am I right? I got this to do, that bill to pay. Oh, yeah, praise God. I got that bill to pay. You know what that is? That's the devil stealing the word out of your heart. You go back on there. I didn't get nothing today. Ain't me, I'm good. Come on, somebody. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you got to get that because you understand that. It's the devil comes. When you read Genesis, watch how the devil works. You remember the story I just told you. One of the first words that God ever sowed into the heart of man was the tree. Do not eat of the tree. Do not eat. The day that you eat of it, you shall die. The first attack of the enemy was to steal the word out of them. And he comes and he asks Eve, what are you doing? The Lord said we can't eat of the tree or touch it. And the devil comes and says, hath God really said that? You really will not die. You notice what he's doing? He's stealing the word that God put in their heart. Because let me think this. If a thief comes in your place, can you imagine? He ain't going to steal your toothbrush. You got that? He's looking for that 55-inch widescreen TV. He's looking for that Apple laptop, new retina display. He's looking for something that's valuable. A thief does not come in and steal your cheese. Come on, somebody. He comes in for the pearls. He comes in for your jewelry. So when the devil comes into our life, guess what he's after? The most precious thing that you got in your life. He's not stealing this or stealing that or stealing of it. He's looking for one. Oh, look at that. It's like David said, I treasure it like great spoil. So does the devil. When he comes in your life, he's stealing one thing from you. That's the word of God. He comes after the word in your life to steal it because he knows the value of it. And one other thing, you ever been to a garage sale and realized they had no idea how valuable what they're selling for 50 cents? And we do it every day of our lives. We don't realize how valuable we have. How valuable what we've got. One of the things David honored, the word of God, he honored it. The Bible says, listen, put on the whole armor of God. Now, Matthew 4 is the greatest sword fight in history because the devil picks up the sword sometimes too. And in Matthew 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit. Now get this. This starts right after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God descended from heaven like a dove, lighted upon him. He was anointed. Now watch this, but nothing was going on. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came, said, if you're Son of God, command these stones be made into loaves of bread. He said, everybody say, it is what? He's arming. He's been anointed by the Spirit. And now he's going to give the Spirit his sword, his dagger. And every time the temptation came, he just armed the Spirit of God in his life. Everybody say, it is what? Here's Spirit, here's your dagger. Here's Spirit, here's your dagger. Spirit of God, here's your dagger. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Come on, biblical worldview versus secular worldview. I'm hungry. Bread's there. I don't see a problem with that. God's not against bread. Hey, da, 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 da. He said, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The devil took him to a high city, put him on the pinnacle of the temple, said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. But call, okay, we want to do that. He pulls his dagger. It's written. Listen, he'll command his angels concerning you, or on their hands they'll bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus says, again, he arms the spirit. He goes, Spirit, here's the dagger again. He goes, Spirit, here's the sword. He goes, Spirit, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms and the glory. He said, all these I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, be gone, Satan. Hear, Spirit of God. I've been anointed. The Spirit's come upon me like a dove. Hear, Spirit of God. I know just that experience itself won't do nothing unless I speak the word. Unless I say, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. Come on, somebody. You learn in your life how to do it. Jesus armed the Spirit. It is written. Now, Ephesians 6:17 says it one more time. It says, the sword of the Spirit, the dagger of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. You put on, you put this on, you take it up, you use it in your life. Take up the dagger of the Spirit. Arm the Spirit of God in your life. Take up the dagger of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You do it. And one of the greatest examples of this is in Genesis 1. We're going to end with this. Genesis 1 says it this way. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And watch this. Go to verse 2 now. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. Face of the deep. And now watch this. In the beginning, there was darkness. In the beginning, there was chaos. In the beginning, there was void. There was emptiness. And the Lord told me this morning that describes some of your lives. You're empty. You're void. You got darkness in your life. You're chaotic. You're chaos. From one relationship to the next, one problem to the next, one thing to the next. You're in there. Now watch this. And the Spirit of God was hovering or brooding or over the face of the waters. But watch this. Nothing was happening. Was it anointed? Absolutely. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The anointing was there. The Spirit of God was there. And one translation in Hebrew, it means this. It says in the King James, the Spirit was moving. Literally in the Hebrew, it means, and the Spirit was moved. Everybody say was moved. Was moved. Was moved because of the chaotic condition. It was emotional over the emptiness. It wanted it to change. It was like in the Hebrew picture, it was a hen that was brooding or sitting on its eggs. It was wanting it life to come forth. It was wanting something to happen. It was the Spirit of God wanted it to happen. It was moving, it was brooding, it was hovering above the earth, but it was still dark, it was still chaotic, it was still void, it was still empty, until the Word was said, and the Spirit received its dagger, it received its sword, and suddenly all creation. And God, everybody say it, and God said, let there be light. And suddenly the Bible, everybody stand up. Isn't that good? Everybody go ahead and stand up. That's about the end. And God said, let there be light. And God said, come on music team. And God said, let the earth, the waters separate from the waters. And God said, let the vegetation come forth. And God said, and that Spirit of God that had been hovering and brooding and moving and moved on the situation now was armed with the Word of God, which is its dagger. Come on, somebody. Oh, man. We had devotions during this week, and Gary was doing our devotions this week, and he talked about a story I remembered, and it was John Osteen. And John Osteen had a dream, And in the dream, he saw a man walk in a room and sit down in a chair. And the room was full of demons. And these demons tied him up and bound him. He didn't think anything about it. What he didn't realize was that year, a growing fear began to hit him. John Osteen was a pastor in Houston, Texas, and worldwide ministry, missionary heart, and would travel the world in missionary endeavors. Had people raised from the dead under his ministry. Just tremendous man of God. A fear began to grip his heart about flying. And it began to grow. And the more it grew, the more fearful he became, because he would see himself going down on a plane and dying. It got so bad that he canceled every speaking engagement and every trip unless he could drive. And he didn't realize what was going on. But for one solid year, he did not fly in an airplane. And then one night, he had a dream. And the Lord came to him in the dream and says, "You remember the other dream?" "Yes, sir." "You're the man in the chair. You've been bound. Until you speak the word, it's not going to happen." He said, in that dream, he saw himself walk in that room with a sword in his hand and cut those ropes, come on somebody, off that guy. And he knew it was the word of God. The next morning he got up. Dodie was his wife. Those two were comical. He said, Dodie, get your clothes on, Dodie. And he said, why, John? He said, "I'm going to the airport." And he had Dodie drive him to the Houston airport. He booked him a flight from Houston to Dallas and back from Dallas. "Just stay at the airport. I'll be right back." Got on a plane, flew to Dallas, got on a plane, flew right back. Come on, somebody, to Houston. He flew till the day he died. You know why? Because you got to learn. You got to learn how to speak the word. Does God care about your situation? He absolutely cares about your situation. The Spirit of God is brooding. The Spirit of God is moved over your situation. The Spirit of God is heartbroken over your situation. But just as he was heartbroken over the emptiness and the void and the darkness and all of that stuff, and he could do nothing until the word was spoken. And when he did, he was armed and he went and did it. Let me tell you something. All of God, just close your eyes this morning, would you? You know, one time this morning, you need the Lord to do something in you, and you need to trust him again. Maybe you're in a stronghold where there is a situation where you didn't think will ever change. You didn't think it'll ever change, but God is going to change that thing. You know why? Because you just got to arm the Spirit of God in your life. He's going to tear down that argument, that logical argument. He's going to tear that thing down, and you're going to be free. Come on, let's sing that old hymn, that old thing again. Do I trust you? Do I trust you?
Lord, does the river flow? Do I trust you, Lord? Does the north wind blow? You can see my heart. You can read my mind. And you got to know that I'd rather die than to lose my faith in the
verse again.
Do I trust you, Lord? Does the river flow? Do I trust you, Lord? Does the north wind blow? You can see my heart. You can read my mind. And you got to know that I
don't know why. Father.
I trust you, Lord.
Say it again. Say, I will trust you from the top.
I will trust you, Lord, and I don't know why. I will trust you.
Come on. Trust you, Lord. Does the north come on?
You can see my heart. You can read my mind. And you've got to know.
I would rather die than to
lose my faith
in the one
I love.
Do I trust
you?
I will trust you,
Lord, when I don't know why. I will trust you, Lord,
till
the day I die. I will trust you, Lord, when I'm blind with pain. Your God before, and you'll never
come
change.
On. I will trust you. One last time. I will trust
you. Some of us might be having trouble trusting God with ourselves to make it, to walk, to be faithful. And this morning I read in a book where it said if God sees the will in us to walk, He is pleased even in our stumbles. And as soon as I read that, a flash went through my mind of the little ones. I got the little ones in my life again. And you know, when you see them having that will to walk, we're delighted even when they get up and they fall again. It just thrills us to see our little ones wanting to walk. And that can be in all phases of our lives. It can be for someone who is just come to the Lord and is afraid to pray because thinks he doesn't know how and doesn't have all the pretty words he hears somebody else who's been in the Lord for a long time. And all God wants to see in you is the will to do it. And even if you stumble through it, it delights His heart. It can be someone who's trying to overcome some type of addiction and you're thinking, I don't even feel like I can overcome this. I'm even afraid to say that I'm going to start because I already see that I'm going to fail it. And God's just saying, if I can just see in you the will the will, even your stumbles, I'm delighted in, and I'll be there to help you up. And I think in whatever stage of our Christian walk, we're always facing something that God's calling us to walk. God's calling us to come up higher, to move up with Him. And all He's asking of us is to have a will, to say, I will, God. I will trust You. I will trust You with myself. I will trust You with this new call that You have on my life, this new challenge, this test I'm going through, this trial. I will trust You, even though I know I'm probably going to stumble. I'm probably going to fall flat on my face or my fanny. But I know, Lord, just to think of that, He's delighted even in our stumbles. Amen.
I will trust You, Lord, when I don't know. I will trust You till the day I die.
I will trust You, Lord,
when I'm blind with pain.
You were God before, and You'll never change.
I will trust You, Jesus. I will trust You. One more time, all from the top. I will trust You, Lord, when I don't know why. I will trust You, Lord, till the day I die.
I will trust You, Lord, when I'm blind with pain. You were God before, and You'll never.
Trust
You.
Does God care about you? I'll tell you, the Spirit of God is moved. He is moved with your situation. But you need to arm. You need to put on the armor of God. You need to give the Spirit of God His sword, His dagger. You need to speak the word. And when you do, the movement will begin. The walls may not fall in an hour, but they're going to fall. There's situations in your life that God wants changed, and you want changed. You cannot do them by positive thinking and by weapons of the flesh. The weapons of your warfare, they're not fleshly, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God. And they will tear down the things that you want to see tore down. See, you're trying to do from the top down. God wants to do from the foundation up. He'll come in on the bottom of it and tear down the foundations. See, that's the problem. Some of you are just whopping fruit off the top and it grows back. Whopping it off, it grows back. God wants to take the axe to the root. He wants to come down on the bottom. He wants to come down the foundation of that thing. He'll do that with the sword of the Spirit. Father, this morning I pray right now, some of you, if you're in darkness and you've never known the Lord, you've never come from darkness to light, the Bible says that's what God's Spirit does. He'll bring you from the kingdom of darkness and He'll move you into the kingdom of light. But see, you got to say something. If you'll confess with your mouth, everybody say confess. See, if you believe in your heart, but confess with your mouth, say the word, say, Jesus, save me. I know, but He knows it. No. Say it. Say, Jesus, save me. If you're here this morning and you're in darkness and you're in chaos and your life is empty and you felt something this morning, it is the Spirit of God hovering. It's the Spirit of God brooding. It's the Spirit of God moved in your situation. But you've got to say something for something to happen. You've got to believe in your heart and you've got to say it. You got to confess it with your mouth. Say, Jesus, save me right now. That's all you have to do. Jesus, save me. He's the doctor. He knows what to do. Just right now, say it. I want everybody in here, just say it with me. Say, Jesus, save me, would you? And if you're here, you said that and you need Him to save you. Let me tell you, things have been set in motion in your life. The Lord hears when you call upon Him. He hears. When you see His name, when you say His name, just as if you said my name, and if I was walking by you, I'd turn and you would get a reaction from me because you just said Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, He heard His name called. And you spoke the word and you gave the Spirit of God now the dagger to come in and cut asunder soulish and spiritual. We'll talk about that next week. God wants to do something in your life right now. And now you've initiated the, you've opened the door. You've given the Spirit His armor. You've given, you put on it. And this morning God's going to do something. Father, right now, you heard the cry beyond deep within their heart. You heard the cry, Jesus, save me. Right now, would you do that? Would you just do what they asked? Would you save them? By the power of your Spirit, would you change them in Jesus' name? Everybody said a good amen. Hey, give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. You go in the Lord. We'll see you next Wednesday and Sunday.
Brought me to